That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Face the Issues. We always enjoy your dialogue and discussion. We look forward to your questions and comments. And most of the time, good questions, good comments, sometimes a little different, but that's okay. We'd love to hear from you. We always invite your call. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. Listen, where do we go if we do not have the Word of God? What do we do as a definitive fact or truth? Where do we look? In fact, when you go into a court of law, some of them now have deviated from that, but at one time it was the absolute requirement that a witness be sworn in with the hand on the Bible, the swearing that they're going to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. Without truth, where do we go in a nation or world? It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Now, I've done this several times, but not recently. Let me just break that down for us, as they call it on the media. Breaking it down. By the way, I just scream at the television, say, don't break it down. Just let me break it down. You tell me the facts. I'll break down what I see in the news. But when you look at John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, it's a question mark, then you're my disciples indeed. If we stay in the Word of God, it's an evident token that we are truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you see the conjunction, and ye shall know the truth. It's staying in the Word of God that we find the truth, and it's through staying in the Word of God, finding the truth, that the truth sets us free. There are a lot of folks today that are still in bondage because they're rejecting the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the truth book. John 14:6, Jesus then makes a declaration. He says, I am truth. Psalms 117:2 then says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And that word forever means forever, with no limitation. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell that made a statement. And I don't say that Orwell needs to be touted as being an ideal, but a statement that he made in his dystopian novel entitled 1984 said this: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. As a Christian, as a conservative, as a patriot, do you ever feel that somehow, some way, everything that we stand for, everything that we say, everything that we believe, there is an opposing view, an opposing force, an opposing demonic rejection of that? Well, I'm reminded that in Ephesians, the 6th chapter says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness in the high places. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place today, that's trying to undermine, tear down, and destroy central biblicist values. that we as Christians and most conservatives hold and we look at as being absolute. That's the truth of the Word of God. There's some that deny the truth, reject the truth, not interested in the truth, and that's because they're simply unwilling to embrace facts based on the authority of Scripture. I find it sad but true. When I look at a statement from the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, he made this statement: what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, a headline that should get our attention, all of our attention, says this: Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. The article in part says, a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education, and there's no more serious problem than the notion that is fashionable in academia today, and has been for decades, that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Now, I touch on this each and every day in part of my monologue, because what we are attempting to do on Let's Face the Issues is look at world events, local and national events, from a central biblicist worldview. What does the Scripture say? How do we view it? And how should we respond to what we see taking place? That's the effort. That's the endeavor. That's the motive. That's the modus operandi each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. And ladies and gentlemen, just for a few more moments in the monologue, and we'll open our telephone lines. And let me remind you that number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. I usually like to give you the facts in relationship to truth in this fashion. It was the church reformer and theologian of the 15th century, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. I believe that's the requirement for every child of God, every Christian. We need to seek the truth. You won't find it on the MSNBC. You'll find it on Communist Network News. You won't find it on ABC, NBC, and CBS. Truth comes from the Word of God. What does God's Word say? Listen, from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 22, verse 21, you will find truth. It is God's progressive revelation of himself to man. It is showing us what God has done, is doing, and shall do in all of the future, even into eternity. I recommend the book. It's called the Bible. And when you look at what Jan Hus says, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live it, defend it, even to death. And that's my challenge today, is that we defend the truth even to death. And if I can just do a little young blood parenthetical footnote, that's what Charlie Kirk was doing, defending the truth. He was hated for that. He was rejected for that. His life was taken as a result of standing for truth. Now listen, we're not there yet where every Christian will risk his life for telling the truth. But as we see the world view, as we look at what's happening in the woke progressive view of the world, and as we witness what is happening in America today, as we study the Word of God and realize, as the old cliche goes, it's not going to get better and better, but badder and badder. It's poor grammar, but it makes a point. And that's not to say that we're to embrace things as they get worse and worse, but we're to recognize that that's what is happening and shall happen. So the question is then, Ezekiel 33:10 asked the question, how should we then live? Based on what we know, based on what we see, based on what the Word of God says, we need to understand what we as Christians need to do. And that's to stand for truth, being salt and light in a decaying, darkening society in which we're living in today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you ask, how do I find that? Very simply, this 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the flag, U.S. flag Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe, and I've tried to gather from the sources with news headlines across the nation and some around the world. And I've simply determined that what would be good today is a little different show than we normally do. We're talking about headline news from a Christian worldview. Headline news from a Christian worldview. What I want to do today is look at several major headlines, major events, things that are taking place nationally and globally. But asking from the standpoint of what should we do based on the authority of Scripture. Based on what the Scripture says, I go back to the phrase that I've enjoyed for years, how should we then live? How should we then live? That is in Ezekiel 33:10, after God had told Ezekiel to be the watchman on the wall and to warn people of danger ahead. And if you're warning people, do not listen, that's their responsibility. If you do not warn of danger ahead, their blood is on your hands, God told Ezekiel. And I believe that is applicable even today. I believe today that we have the responsibility as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, when we see danger ahead, we need to warn the world. We need to warn friends, relatives, neighbors, and acquaintances. We need to warn the churches of the dangers ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, today could be a defining day in the direction of our nation. We're witnessing the battle between two worldviews. Yes, it's the battle between the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party and the ones, ladies and gentlemen, the Democratic Party that's willing to risk the economic well-being of our nation in order to force the Republican Party, which could be termed the conservatives, not all are, but for the broader term, I'm calling it that. But there's two worldviews. One is the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party that's faced off now with the conservative / the Republican Party with the shutdown. This is the second day of the shutdown in America's government. So my question is, in relationship to that, what's going to take place? How will it? What will it do to America? Will everybody be out of a job? Will we cease to have health care coverage? Will the hospitals all close? Will all of the money just be shut off? Will you stop getting your paycheck, etc.? Answer to that's no. Listen, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party screaming with the hair on fire that millions are going to die, that millions will not be able to go to the hospital and have hospital coverage, that millions are going to be put out of a job, etc., etc. That's the screaming cry. Now, I want to ask you a question. I'd love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Who's at fault? Why is it that this is the second day of government shutdown? By the way, my most humble opinion, the government needs to be shut down about 9 months out of the year. Understand what I'm saying. Back in yesteryear, and I'm still less than 100 years old, but back in yesteryear, let's just say for arbitrary, capricious numbers, about 100 years ago, people would get elected to high positions. They might be doctor, lawyer, Indian chief. They may be a farmer or simply a husband or wife, whatever it may be. Back then, it was just the men that were running our nation, as I believe God ordained it to be so. I believe God called men to be the head of the home. God called men to be the head of government. God called men to be the head of the church. And he didn't, that's not lower rating women at all. In fact, Dr. Adrian Rogers a number of years ago said the position that God's put woman in is in that elevated position of protection. And yet somehow, some way, we've denigrated that. But the point being, people would get elected They would go to Washington, spend 30 to 90 days in Washington, arguing about bills, passing laws. Then they would go back home, pick up the shovel, pick up the plow, pick up the farm implements, whatever they were doing for a livelihood, and they would continue to make their livelihood and live under the same laws they passed in Washington. We find that totally opposite today. We find today those that are elected, they pass laws to give themselves raises. They pass laws to exempt themselves from the regulations and rules that we are under. They pass regulations and laws and rules that exempt them from it, give them what they call Cadillac health care services, give them privileges and, how would you say, prestige position that nobody else has ever had in the history of our nation, allow some like Nancy Pelosi and others to see what's happening with the stock market and be an inside trader, overnight making mega millions of dollars. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the problem with our system today. And listen, I ramble with all of that simply to say, I'm glad to see. You can argue that. I'd love to hear from you if you have a different opinion. I'm glad to see the government shut down. I believe that the nation is safer when the government is shut down than it is when they're running their mouths and trying to figure out how they can pass more legislation to regulate our lives. Do you realize, and this statistical data was from about 10 years ago, but 10 years ago the statistical data said that we pass about 250,000 new laws every year. That's on local, state, and national level. About 250,000 new laws every year, layer after layer after layer, and never have we seen in the history of America where a legislative session goes into session for the purpose of taking old laws off the books, books that are no longer, laws that are no longer proper regulations or rules. For example, I am told, and I'm not researched it other than reading the research on it, I'm told that in New York City, there's a law that's still on the books that if your mule dies and you leave the mule on the sidewalk more than 24 hours, you'll be fined $3. That's the point, I think, that needs to be heard. But the point that we're seeing is the shutdown of government in America today. The shutdown of the government. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what you've heard, but let me just clarify for you. It is Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries that has caused the shutdown. And their major push was that they would not sign the continuing resolution, the CR as it's called, would not allow that to pass. And that's just simply extending things, leaving things as is for another 30 days. They refused to do that. They were trying to inextricably tie to that in order to give a CR, a continuing resolution, they had to have $1.5 trillion additional dollars in the budget. And they insisted that every illegal invader in America be covered by what at one time was called Obamacare, which is the Affordable Care Act, as it ultimately was named, to give them medical care. Listen, if we were to do that, if we'd follow what the Democrats want at this moment, every illegal invader coming into America would come into America so that your tax money and my tax money would pay them, provide for them health care from birth to the grave. That's simply not going to happen, Donald Trump said. That's simply not going to happen, the Republicans are saying. And so because of that face-off, we have a shutdown today in our governmental system. I am thankful that we have those that are guarding the till, if you will, in Washington that will not allow that to take place. I believe that we need to do as the Apostle Paul said, this sixth chapter of Ephesians, we need to put on the whole armor of God. Let me just do a little footnote to that. Realizing that we're in an absolute spiritual battle, put on the whole armor of God. And then in verse 13 of chapter 6, after the whole armor is put on, the Bible says very clearly, the Apostle Paul says, that wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. That's simply put, and I don't believe the Republicans in general know that verse of Scripture, understand the protocol in that, or understand the what it really says. But what they have done, and I identify with that, they have put on the armor, they've taken a stand, they've done the battle, and they're not backing up, not backpedaling, and not shutting down their position, and simply standing, saying, okay, if you want to shut the government down, Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries, you do it. And that's what they're doing. And I say to every Christian, every conservative, we need to recognize that we are in a battle each and every day. It is a spiritual battle being fought out in the realm of humanity, and we need to put on the whole armor of God, recognizing that we are in a battle, and it's a battle for the souls of humanity. It's a battle for life and death. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, the Apostle Paul recognized that, because in the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. Ladies and gentlemen, the Christian life is a battle. And the sooner we understand that, the better off we are in doing battle with the enemies that wants to tear down and destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that we need to stand, ladies and gentlemen, and I use that scripture as an analysis, as an illustration of what we need to do, and I'm thankful to see the Republicans doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing. Secondly, we're talking about today headline news from a Christian worldview. Headline news from a Christian worldview. One of the things that is taking place, and for the most part, it is silent. For the most part, nothing is being said in relationship to it. And that is the Islamic, I touched on it briefly the other day on this broadcast. It is the Islamic invasion that is coming about, not just globally, not just in the UK, not just in France and Germany, not just in all parts of Africa, but across the globe and across America. I'm looking at a headline that says, UK attack. That's United Kingdom attack outside a synagogue leaves two dead, three injured, according to the police. At least two victims had died and three others in a serious condition after a car and knife attack outside of a synagogue in Manchester in the United Kingdom. The attack came on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar, which ends later today. Vehicle was driven into the pedestrians, and at least one person was stabbed. Armed police declare a major incident and opened fire minutes later, killing the suspect. Ladies and gentlemen, why do I bring that up? Because that is simply what is happening in Islam. Islam, the word Islam means submission. And it's the goal of Islamic jihadists to force the world, and in particular Christians and Jews, to submit or to die. And ladies and gentlemen, the Noble Quran, and perhaps you say, what does it mean, noble? That's the name of it, the Noble Quran, which is the only Quran that has the Medina seals authorization for the Islamic scholars. That's the only Quran that the Islamic scholars will read or will interpret. And in the Islamic scholars' footnotes in the Noble Quran, they explain jihad. And let me paraphrase their explanation. Jihad is a requirement from Allah for every Islamic, for every Arab, to destroy the Christians and the Jews. And if there's no submission, if you submit to Islam and allow Islamics to dominate, excuse me, you will not be fined, and you will not be forced, and you will not have your life taken. Ladies and gentlemen, looking at a headline, in America, U.S. Muslim mayor to the Christian citizen, you're not welcome here. Move away. A Muslim mayor in Dearborn, Michigan, has stunned with the vitriol against a Christian resident of his city who simply objected to the promoting of violence. The mayor, named Abdullah, scolded the residents. His name was Edward Barham, B-R-A-B-A-R-H-A-M, a Christian. Although you live here, you're not welcome here anymore. This man had objected to the renaming of some intersections in Dearborn, Michigan, after an Islamic jihadist, an Arab American news publisher who had promoted Hezbollah and Hamas, both Middle East organizations that have inflicted death, destruction, and terror on America and Americans. He then turned to a personal attack on his city residents, accusing the city residents, a Christian, of being a bigot. And you are a racist, he said. You are an Islamophobic. Although you live here, I want you to know, as mayor, you're no longer welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day I launch, this is the mayor speaking, the day you move out of the city will be a day I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you've moved out of our city. Further explanation, Fox News explained, Dearborn, Michigan, the city with America's highest percentage of Muslim population, has long navigated debate over cultural and political identity. For many average residents, the movement captured in City Hall begged the question of whether elected officials are willing to even listen to other voices or only to the voices of the Islamics, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we are watching the rising up of Islam on a global basis. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Go with the questions, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Gambler, you are dead on point. Number one, I want to say this. The Democrats, they're trying to help them, I believe. But the Democrats don't know what they're doing because they're going to knock their behinds off also. And it's just sad. I mean, Satan is ruling this world anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Period, dot, dash. That's why the Lord has to come back and take it over. But it is sad the way America is going, even Europe. It is sad. I think in some cities or states, they got a Sharia law in certain parts of the city or state.
Well, they do in Dearborn, Michigan. Kenneth, if I could jump in. They do in Dearborn, Michigan. In fact, in Dearborn, Michigan, it was discovered just a little less than a year ago that a portion of the city had already set up its own Sharia Islamic police force with the badges already made, the uniforms made. It was discovered that it was a separate police organization, not with the civilian police organization, but separate to police the Sharia law, under Sharia law, in the Islamic neighborhoods in Dearborn, Michigan. That was stopped when it was discovered, but that's attempted. Right now in the nation, the only governor in America, hear me, the only governor in America that's standing up against Islam and demanding that it cease and desist is the mayor in, the governor in Texas, the Governor Abbott. Yeah. Governor Abbott in Texas. In fact, I'm looking at the headline. Governor Abbott in Texas signs a law banning Sharia compounds in Texas. And I'll talk further about that in a moment. But we need to recognize that it is Islamic jihadists standing up. And I've said it in my book that I published in 2011, Is Islam Tolerant? I point out very clearly that based on statistical data from around the world, when a city, a county, a state, or a nation has as many as 2 to 6% Islamics, they then start demanding to have a Sharia law as the enforcement tool in their part of the city, state, or nation. And that's what we're witnessing today. Kenneth, it demands our prayer.
Can I ask one more question?
Go right ahead. Yes.
All right. Okay. The Democrats didn't want to save our nation because they wanted the illegal aliens to have really more health benefits than Americans.
Absolutely.
And they still wanted to send them $1,500. I'm less than 100. I'm in my 70s. I don't get $1,500. You're going to take our tax dollars?
Well, Kenneth, what we need to do is go across the border, fly down to Mexico, and then walk back across the border and just let them treat us as illegal invaders coming in and start paying us to be here, giving us the red carpet celebration and all of the benefits of citizens. And I say that in irony, of course, but that's exactly what we see taking place today. You try to come in the legal way, it takes years and years and years and thousands of dollars.
Yes.
You come in across the border illegally, and all of a sudden you're given the red carpet treatment with the keys to the city, the keys to the bank, and all that you need to live on. That is something that is very, very dangerous. Kenneth, our time is about up for the top of the hour news, so thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we continue to look up and lift up our heads. I believe Davis is on the line. Davis, go with the question and comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, y'all are both right on target, and I just got just one little thing to say to add to this. You're right. I think every Democrat, maybe 103% of them, have thrown away the Bible, and they picked up the Quran, And that's exactly what they're living by. You're dead on right, brother.
Absolutely. And, David, one of the things that I'm so saddened by, many of the Islamic jihadists, when they're elected into office, they will be sworn in on their choice book, which is the Quran, and not the Word of God. They do not swear to uphold our Constitution. They do not swear to uphold the Word of God, anything that's called morals, ethics, or values. They're swearing an oath to Allah. And yet we allow it to take place in our nation. Davis, our time is up, but thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We're going to have the news break, and right after the news, we'll be right back as we face the issues.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological...
WTRJ Orange Park.